woke up this morning, put on my slippers, walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling.
It's 11:24, midday with Jamie and Wicket. Joel Nichols in for Mike Wicket, who's back on Monday. Who is this?
This is the great John Prine.
Oh.
This is the song that you should take advice from about what you should do when you pass away. Because he goes into a whole rendition here of what to do with his body.
Well, what's his suggestion?
I don't know if we can stay long enough with the song to hear it.
Okay.
But
you can just tell me.
It's pretty good. I think it's coming up. Please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground.
No, I'm gonna have them cut me up and pass me all around. Well, that's uplifting. Glad I asked.
Oh, but John Prine is he's legendary. He's great.
All right.
See,
so
the things you learn with me being here for a day?
I do learn a lot, actually. Yesterday I learned what soda jerk is.
Was, yeah.
Yes.
And that you should listen to Harry Nielsen. Today it's death and John Prine.
And we'll see. And the show's not over. We got plenty of time still. Okay, so I don't know why. Again, big traveler for those that haven't listened for that long, but I don't have a desire to climb Mount Everest. I have some friends that do.
That kind of surprises me, actually, about what I know of you.
Yeah, I just don't have. It's the tallest mountain in the world. It's 29,000 feet, I think. No, I don't. That's a very physical. I'm not built for it physically. I don't want to do it physically. I don't. I think it would be interesting to be at the top, but
right.
I don't want to go through what it would take to accomplish that goal.
Including the training leading up to it.
Yes.
Yeah,
the years of training that you have to put your body through. And if you are going to go and decide you're going to take that on, you have to do others first or should do others first. And then it's not cheap. The permit, and the permit has gotten more expensive. So Nepal, at least, and you can enter from, it's Nepal, and for the life of me, I can't think what the other country is. Nepal charges you $11,000 for the permit to go. Because so many people now are wanting to do this, and Mount Everest and the trek up has become littered and disgusting with garbage because so many people have done this now, so they're trying to discourage so many people from doing it. So you're paying $11,000 for the permit, and total, if you want a good guide and you want to do it right, it's $65,000 or $75,000 to do this.
Wow.
And you're giving up a month or two of your life to go, because first you have to acclimate to the altitude at Everest Base Camp, and they want you to do that for like 3 weeks. Then it's however long it takes you to trek to the top, and then you still have to get back down. So you're just giving up, and I don't have the physical aptitude for it. But what has happened is, so I think 4,000 people have scaled it. 4,000 people have 4,000 have made it. There have been 6,000 trips because some Sherpas, those are the locals that they hire right. that set it all up for you and carry all your gear and everything, have done it multiple times. About 300 people have died in the process, either on the way up or on the way down. And sometimes it's from an avalanche, or they have a heart attack, or they get buried in a storm or something like that. It surprised me the first time I found out, although I don't know why, that if you die on Everest, they don't bring you down. They literally leave you where you fell.
Wow.
They literally, if you drop dead in the snow, part way up, they just leave you there. And nobody really makes the effort. It's no one's job to go back and get you because it just, you know, it's $75,000 for you to make it and come back
exactly.
down to
right.
pay, and it would take a group of people to drag your literal dead weight
right.
off the
exactly.
mountain would take a lot. So they just leave you. Now what's happening is, and CNN did the story this morning, that operators of these expeditions are finding increasing numbers of these dead bodies because global warming is melting the snow more. And so it is exposing. And right. some are exposed every year. You know, every year when the snow melts a little bit. But now it's exposing more and more of these bodies that are on the mountain. And for some reason, that just, we'll read more of the story coming up because I just think it's interesting. And if you've never read the book or seen the movie Into Thin Air by John Krakauer, I think it was 1996 was what that one's about. But that was where there was a big storm and there was a group of people and a couple of people died. And there was a big debate about how they died, really. And so midday with Jamie and Wicket on a sunny Friday. Wicket's off in Iowa watching basketball. So Joel Nichols is here.
I am.
Hanging out.
It's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. So we're talking about the story, CNN did the story, about the people that decide to go and climb Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world, and they don't make it, either they, about 300 people have died either on the way up or on the way down. And usually it's because of a storm, an avalanche of some kind. And what they tend to do, because it is so physically difficult to get your body down, is they just leave people quite literally where they fell. If you were in a tent and your tent was toppled in an avalanche, they don't look for you. They just leave you there. What is happening more now is that glaciers are melting more because of global warming. And so that is exposing more of the bodies of dead climbers. And the New York Times has done several lengthy stories about the people that have died and the efforts or lack of efforts to get their bodies down. And the last line of this story, Channel 5 took this out of CNN, is that one of the first people to study what it takes to get the bodies off the mountain said, it takes a long time to get funding from the government to remove the bodies. And the thing that I thought about was whether who should pay if you, again, sorry, we're going all dark this hour. But it was interesting. Chris and I were talking about this morning in the office about, in some cases, the guy was from India and had died on his way up, I think. And there was a debate about getting the Indian government to pay the money to go and retrieve the body. Mm-hmm. And it costs a lot. I mean, keep in mind, it's 75 grand generally to have a decent guide get you up and back. And that's because of the time at base camp and stuff like that. But let's say it's $40,000 because you got to pay multiple people to go all the way up to where you are and then secure you and bring you down. And maybe they hit storms and they're in danger themselves. It's, maybe to us, that's not, you know, to you and me, that's a lot, but to the government, that's maybe not a lot of money. And it was a fight to get the Indian government to pay the people to, because the Indian government just didn't have interest in his body coming down, you know, leave him where, but the families want the closure. And so who should pay, if anyone, the money? And I'm thinking, like, if this was your, you know, if this was someone in your family, would you pay that money to get your loved one off of Everest?
No.
Or would you want the government to pay the money?
I wouldn't
or do
want them
you just
to pay either.
Leave them there.
You know, I guess because if you're going to climb Mount Everest, that is something that has been a goal and you work hard at it and you're going to do it. And so if you're a member, if you have a brother or a father or a sister or mother that tries it and dies in the attempt or dies coming down, I think as family, I would say, you know what, that was something he or she struggled to do. Mm-hmm. This is a place that they would be, if they were going to die, they would not be, you know, terribly hurt that they died in this quest. This was something that meant a lot to them. So in some ways, I would say they, if the tragedy occurs and they die on the mountain, that was something that probably would not be a bad thing for them.
It is something that I think if you're going to do that trek, you should make clear to your loved ones, if that happens to me. Don't make any effort.
Again, you need to have the conversation. As we've been telling you, Jamie, you must have the conversation.
But I got to tell you, did you, because we were talking about this morning.
Yes. What was the question?
Oh, this morning you thought it was ridiculous that government's kicking tax dollars.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that you have someone who's spending their tens of thousands of dollars to have someone go to the top of the Everest, some exclusive, luxurious thing to do that people want. But then when they, if they were to die, they don't have the money to bring them back. They're using tax dollars to bring them back. That seems misuse of funds in my mind.
Well, you know, a texter just raised an interesting point, what the insurance situation is for this. Do you have signed something that has some sort of insurance, or can you get a policy that would then pay for retrieval or whatever?
So some of the debate that's happened where there's been a couple of cases, and somebody correct me, those of you, it's been a while since I read Into Thin Air by John Krakauer, but if any of you have read the book, correct me on what I remember about it. There have been a couple of cases where, and a couple in particular I'm thinking of, where part of the reason that the families wanted the bodies brought down was to prove how they died. That there were suspicions that it wasn't from a storm.
Foul play.
And it wasn't from natural causes, that I believe in one of these cases, and I think Into Thin Air included this, was that like one of the guys had been hit with an axe or something, that there was a fight or something had happened where the guy had been hit in the head with an axe, and that's how he died. And they wanted to prove that it wasn't just natural causes.
Okay, so I just found a news article from January of this year. Insurers threaten to stop covering Everest trekkers.
Because of the risk of death?
Yes, and I have not been able to read it, but that was 2 months ago.
Google very quick for me, quickly if you can, how much the insurance costs. What's the insurance? I mean, it's part of that 75 grand. But how much does the insurance cost if you're going to scale Everest, and what does that cover?
From January to August 2018, out of the 35% of the claims were considered fraudulent, costing them $4 million.
Wait, say that to me again.
There were 1,600 rescue operations on Mount Everest from January to August 2018.
What do you mean? Do you know what you mean when you say rescue operations?
Helicopter rescues.
Of people that occurred
in Nepal from the Mount Everest.
That were trying to scale it,
yes,
and needed to be saved.
Yes.
Okay.
And
got it.
Out of which 35% were fraudulent. So there's...
So that's why they're not covering it anymore.
What? I know you don't have this in front of you. What do they mean fraudulent?
Well, it turns out nobody was in danger or...
How would it be fraudulent? Like, you need to be rescued or you don't.
Or you claim that somebody was rescued, you get the insurance money, but you actually didn't rescue anybody after all?
Huh. An evacuation costs about $40,000.
Yeah. I want to know more about the fraudulent claims, because if that's why they're not covering you to go, because then I think, well, what are they going to cover? What does that insurance cover? Is that like an additional life insurance policy if you die?
Right. And are the insurance companies being defrauded by families, or are they being defrauded by rescue operations?
Yes. They're being frauded by the helicopter rescue operations.
So they're saying, well, we went up to rescue this person, and therefore you need to pay our 25 grand or 40 grand or whatever.
So it's a fake...
It's a fake rescue that never happened.
What's the benefit to someone?
Well, the benefit to the company is they made 25 to 40 grand without doing anything.
The companies are okay, sorry, now I got it. Wow,
Nepal
that took me a while.
Nepal cracks down on lucrative helicopter rescue scams.
Helicopter companies are going on these quote-unquote rescues,
right,
billing insurance companies for them, and then finding out those rescues did not... Wouldn't that be pretty easy for an insurance company to find out pretty fast?
You would think so.
Because they would need a name of someone, and the insurance company would say, like, the helicopter companies would have to get the name of an actual person that's up there, so the insurance company doesn't say, well, we didn't insure that person.
If you get personal information, whether it's a birth certificate or a death certificate, which is not as hard to get as we think it is sometimes, and you put that down as, this is somebody who's going through all the training and everything, and let that thing slide for 3 weeks at base camp, then let them get halfway up the hill, this invisible person. And then you say, oh, this person was registered, this person signed in, and now they got to be rescued, so you need to pay us. I mean, it's hard to follow up in that part of the world, maybe.
It's interesting. I wonder what that insurance, I guess that insurance covers if you need a rescue. Again, if you have the $75,000 to go and can take 2 months off work to go do this, and again, that 75 grand doesn't guarantee you're going to make it.
Right.
You know, it's weather conditions, or you might not be able to, you know, physically be able to, or sometimes it just takes as much as like fog and you can't see your way up. And so you don't know what you're dealing with at the top. I mean, there's a lot of things working against you. And you're paying that 75 grand no matter what. If you have that kind of money to take on, a trek like that, I would think you could cover the price of your own funeral the price of your own rescue.
And the text line, there's some great suggestions, which is exactly along the line of what you were saying, Jamie, that if you've got that money, then put another, say, 40 grand into a bank account.
Yeah.
And then if you need to be rescued, there it is. If you don't, you get that deposit back.
You've got it ready to go. Yeah. I would make that. It's interesting. So there are a lot of companies that handle the expedition. There are a lot of companies that you can hire and a lot of guides that you can hire that organize that for you. And I wonder what some of the requirements are of those companies. And if that will start to be like, in addition to paying us, you've got to have at least half the cost in cash of what it takes for us to come get you.
If you need it.
Yep. You know?
Yeah.
So interesting. And the other part of this that was interesting to me was just initially was the visual of, as you are climbing Everest, you know, a lot of people that have successfully done it have talked about the visual of, you're climbing it and you see the bodies just kind of off in the distance, and no one's making an effort to go get them but you. And in fact, they would talk about how you walk over them sometimes. So the season starts, the Sherpas, who are the locals who are strong and get paid a lot of money to help take all your stuff up with you, they go up when the season starts and they find the best path up and they mark it and they rope it off so that you've got ropes to hold on to. And they just they pick whatever path makes the most sense to get up there. And even if you are walking over bodies, that is morbidly fascinating to me, that visual, you know, you're in arguably one of the most stunning views you're ever going to see in your life. You know, you're at the highest point in the world, and along the way, you are seeing carnage out on the mountains. And the other thing that they talk about is that you don't always stay where you, you know, wind may take you, you know, so they may think they know where your body is. And then a storm could come along and carry your body however many feet. It's just, and I don't know anyone. I know I have friends that have been to Everest Base Camp because that in itself is a trek. But I don't know anyone that, I don't even know anyone who really wants to get to the, again, there's a lot of investment in something that you may not succeed at.
And you better have, it is a, I would guess, a rich person's dream. Because if you're not pretty well off, you're just not going to do it. Unless somehow you get sponsors, you have some special reason for doing it, or you're doing it in some for some special cause, and so other people are paying it or whatever. But it's an expensive thing to try to do.
All right, that concludes death.
So I guess the playlist for that would be the soundtrack from Frozen. Is that what
Sure.
Just to tie it all up together.
Into Thin Air was a movie, wasn't it? Didn't the John Krakauer book become a movie?
Yes,
we could
it did.
See what we could see what's on the soundtrack.
Could be that soundtrack
to the movie.